Yep. Now, if that song doesn't put you in a good mood, I don't know what will. The Spinners, from the album Happiness is Being with the Spinners. I would agree, but I would submit to you that sometimes unhappiness is being on board one of the spinners. You know what I'm saying? I know you do. Now get this. Daryl Sims, the alien hunter, is the world's leading expert on alien abduction. His 38-plus years of field research has focused on physical evidence and led to his groundbreaking discoveries of alien implants and alien fluorescence. As a former military police officer and CIA operative, Sims has a unique insight to the alien organization, which he believes functions similarly to an intelligence agency. He is also a compassionate and skilled therapist who has helped hundreds of alien experiencers all over the world come to terms with what they've witnessed. And we're going to get into it deep with Daryl Sims when we come back. This is the one and only Coast to Coast AM. Stand by. Without further ado, after doing a little spinning of our own earlier in the show, let's bring on board the bridge of the ever-loving mothership, Daryl Sims. Welcome. Daryl, where is Daryl Sims?
I'm here, John.
I was afraid you'd been abducted, man. I was worried for a minute.
Not lately.
Excellent. You know, you're an ex-CIA guy, yeah?
Well, I worked in the company for 2 years during the volunteered during the Vietnam War, which a lot of people didn't do. They kind of went the other direction. But I was sheet dipped or picked up literally out of the military and placed into the Central Intelligence Agency for 2 years during my time with the military, and then spent my last year in the military in Korea. So that ended my 3-year tour.
Okay, so it wasn't the Vietnam thing?
No, it was not Vietnam. I actually stayed in country and helped provide security and other things for a top secret CIA installation, which trained JOTs, or what we refer to as junior officer trainees, or basically the spies or NOCs, these people that are going to be out in the field spying and doing this sort of thing.
And you're an ex-military policeman as well?
That is correct, sir.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a couple of pretty serious lines of work there. So what in the world led you to become the alien hunter?
Well, that you might say I was a captive audience.
I get it.
By that, certainly. I didn't have a choice. I simply, I mean, the story is on my website on alienhunter.org, but basically the story is that I opened my eyes and I realized someone was in my room when I was 4 years old in Midland, Texas, and I couldn't figure out why somebody would be in my room, first of all, in our little tiny house, and it was freezing cold, winter time, and whoever it was didn't have any clothes on, and they were awful white. And as I thought, what is that? It turned around. Apparently, it heard me thinking, and it turned around and looked at me and realized it had made a mistake, that I was awake, and it had failed in its purpose of me. I shouldn't know what's going on,
right?
And I do. And when it turns around, I'm really freaked out because it doesn't have any clothes on, and I can't figure out why it's walking toward the wall anyway, because I figure it's going to bump into the wall. I didn't know it was going to go through the wall. I had no idea because I didn't see it come in. And the most interesting part of the story for me was that when it turned around, as a little boy, of course, I noticed it didn't have any clothes on. It didn't have a TT. It didn't have a belly button, and I couldn't figure out what in the world was going wrong.
Man, now that is something else. And this happened when you were 4 years old?
That is correct, sir.
Okay. Look, I may be jumping around. This is just going to be one of those conversations, just me and Daryl hanging out, and we'll just jump all over the place, and you bring us back on track, because I will pull you off track, trust me. I get the sense that these creatures can't really do much to us, but they can cause us to do things to each other. Is that closer or farther away? I mean, I understand that people have been probed and abducted and had all kinds of been implanted and everything else, but they don't seem to be, they're kind of weak when they put their spikes on.
Well, I think the best way for me to describe my position on this is to relay the idea that the alien, in my opinion, is there are not races of aliens out there when we're talking about these six or seven types of alien beings that are reported most often by the UFO community or people in general who see these entities. And by that I mean the particular entities we're looking at, first of all, generally is that little gray guy, and he stands about 3.5 feet tall. He's got an IQ of about 80. He's got a boss that looks just like him but stands taller than he is, about 5 foot tall. That guy's got an IQ of about 150. He's real intelligent. There's a mantis-like creature that stands 6.5 to 7 foot tall. He's got an IQ of about 180. There's a humanoid that looks what some people refer to as the Nordic. This guy is about 6'2", 6'4", and he's very intelligent. And then there's another creature that some people fail to put in the UFO field, but he's been seen in these events, and that is this thing called Bigfoot. And he stands about 7.5 to 8 foot tall or even taller. All these, in my opinion, are models. They are not, in fact, races of aliens.
No kidding.
The DNA comes from here, this planet.
Now, this is extraordinary. Just amplify that just a little bit. You say models.
What I mean by models is what you're looking at is something, for instance, if you go down to the Chevy store and decide you're going to buy a car, and you look at all these different cars, you say, well, wait a minute, what all kinds you got out there? And they pull out 6, 7 different kinds of cars. Those are 7 distinct different types of cars, but they're all made by the same guy, so to speak, mm-hmm. Same company. Those are models. They're not races of anything. They're models made for the purpose of interaction with mankind, and their purposes are very, very hidden. They don't want anybody to know that, obviously. There's a lot they don't want us to know. But they're very secretive. They're very deceptive, to say the very least. They lie, and they lie consistently. And they are, in fact, models. They are entities designed for the purpose of interaction with mankind.
Unbelievable. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say this before. Now, wait a minute. You hold a master's level in hypnotherapy. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
And you're also a medical hypnotic anesthetist.
That is correct.
And what really made you go after the alien was when, as an adult, you found out that your 5-year-old son was also being abducted?
That was what turned me from what most people would refer to as an experiencer, so to speak. Someone had these events and didn't want them, and didn't just wanted it to stop and go away. And then one day, while we were at a property, we own 4 acres of property out in Huffman, Texas. It's right literally just a few miles down the street from where the Cash Landrum event happened, where those people were radiated by that object. And I think that was a military operation. But the point is, at about 2:30 in the morning, I realized something was tragically wrong. And I had felt that feeling, but not felt it since I was 17 years old. And I got up and ran as fast as I could. I ran past my son's room, past my daughter's room, in the living room, and there was my son standing there in a deep trance of 5 years old, looking out the back window. He's still in trance, just like I was in my bed, basically, not understanding what was going on. But the only difference is that what they did on him worked. By that, I mean they programmed him that you're not supposed to remember, and he didn't remember anything until the next day. But my wife came running in there. She was looking at me, confused. Why is he? What's wrong with him? What's he doing? What's going on? And finally, she looks at me and says, "What is it that you haven't told me?" And that's when I had to belly up to the bar, so to speak, and tell her about my alien abduction experiences and something I'd never told her before. And now my son was a victim of the same event. That changed me from an individual wanting to avoid the phenomena to the guy who basically hunts them, that hunted me, and later hunted my son.
A lot of people roll their eyes at this stuff, but there are too many accounts from too many steady people, and their stories are too much alike, and they do not know each other, and they did not get it from a television program, and none of the television programs, with the possible exception of the one I narrate called Unsealed Alien Files, has even come close to to the things that these people describe as having experienced at the hands or whatever they might be of these creatures.
You are so right, and I think that in fact a Hollywood producer told me one time I wanted to do a motion picture on my life story, and he asked me a question. He said, before we get into all that, he said, why can't Hollywood make a really good alien movie? I said, you want the truth? And he said, yeah. I said, because you write in everything you think it's about, and you don't read the literature and keep it for what it actually is. I said, if you put these events in context, a number of these events, I guarantee you, you'd scare half the population out of that building simply because half of them in there are abductees, and they're not going to sit there and watch the same thing that happened to them on a film. People want to change it. They want to make them, the alien, more human, more kind, more whatever. He is whatever he is. I mean, some events are not harmful, but others are. There are cases of cattle mutilations. We had a pile of them up here in Texas just this last week.
You got any details on those? I'd love to hear it.
The mutilation cases that we had were out in Port Lavaca. A friend of mine is doing a colleague is doing the investigation on that, and there were about 20 sheep that were mutilated there at different times. In my opinion, based on what I've seen in the preliminary, and I haven't seen the case, I've only looked at the general information, it appears that that's not alien-related, at least most of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have cases, of course, that are cattle mutilations that we've discovered and worked on right here in Houston, and horse mutilations as well, that in my opinion are UFO-related.
Is this the surgical precision that is virtually unknown to we Earthlings?
Well, that is true. And then often there's little or no predation. By that I mean predators will often stay away from these creatures, from the cows, the sheep, or whatever's been mutilated. And no one seems to know quite why, because, I mean, the vultures and this sort of thing here in Texas are very keen to have dinner early on that sort of thing, and they will stay away from these if they're UFO related. I think that perhaps some of the reason for that is that whatever electromagnetic or other effect that has happened to those animals is still affecting or still giving off some type of animation or some type of field or something that these animals can pick up, and they stay away from it for whatever reason.
You mentioned some people earlier who had been, it appears that they are, were the people you were talking about that had been subjected to what you said might have been a military operation, they're the ones that wound up with radiation burns. Is it the same bunch?
That is correct. That's the Cash Landrum of people. There were two ladies and a little boy. They stopped, they saw a bright object come down. It was, in my opinion, a military operation that got away from the military. About 20 helicopters were out there around it, and it got away from them. The project failed, in my opinion. Unfortunately, these people got too close to it. The lady got out and got outside her car, and she got radiated, and so did everyone else in the car, but she got it a lot worse and later died from it. But I lived about 5 miles down the road from where that event occurred, and where that object came down close and touched the road, it melted the highway. And the highway was repaired by the next day. Now, anybody that knows anything about Texas knows that you're not going to get any highway fixed ever for any reason overnight. It's not going to happen.
No.
And the highway department didn't know who did it.
They didn't know who fixed the highway.
They had no idea.
Gotcha.
This thing just gets fixed and nobody knows who did it or why.
That's unbelievable. Now, you've been abducted yourself.
Yes, sir.
And it ended violently? We're using the word violently at age 17?
That is correct. My events were actually quite short compared to some people. By that I mean my events started in 1952 at age 4, and they ended, there was a series of them, about 10 of them, that lasted all the way up until age 17. And in my last event, it ended very violently, and I've never told anyone the events of my last event, and the reason is twofold. Is number one is because the entities that showed up in that last event, you will not find in any UFO literature, and number two, the I've found eight people so far that have had a very similar event, and they have described the entities with great detail. So I know they didn't make it up, because it's not in any literature that you can copy. I mean, you can't go read it and find it and say, oh, that, yeah, me too. So when people tell me they've had the same event, I want to know the same. I want to know what the details are. But the interesting thing about any of this, if you're an abductee or a contactee, you think a contactee thinks these events are often favorable to them or favorable to humanity, even if you don't like it. Abductees don't agree with that. But my point is that you have to question your own events. You just do, for your own sanity. How could this possibly happen? And in my last event, where these five entities came into the room, they kicked open the door, actually. And the fact is that the door knob and lock were broken off and laying on the floor the next morning. Interesting thing is, my dad got up, looked at my door, looked at me, and strangely said, "Boy, you're a little tough on these doors." And what's interesting is no one heard a thing in the entire home during the night. I mean, no one heard a word, and that's all he said, and he walked off. I should have gotten in trouble for that, but I didn't do it. But that's what you look for in these events, is evidence. And that was my first big hint that something seriously went wrong, and that I wasn't dreaming, that in fact it did happen.
Now, I got a question for you. How do you reconcile a doorknob on the floor and a forcible entry by these creatures, let's just call them that?
Well, in that particular event,
and walking through walls,
they were not coming for an abduction, and they were coming for the kind of way to describe this for the audience that they might better appreciate it is to use the term MIB, or Men in Black. They weren't really like that, but they're along that league. And some people ask me, you know, what exactly were they? I said, if I had to describe it by a term, if the alien had an SS, it would be them.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be the enforcement division.
The enforcement division. Man, this is just too much. All right. When we come back, it would really be good to know when a group of them show up, a group shows up, are they all the same, or is it a collection of different models, as you mentioned earlier? Our guest tonight, he hasn't been on the program since he was on with George Norrie on October 1, 2009. He's back again. He is Daryl Sims. His book is Alien Hunter, The Evidence in Light. Check out his website, alienhunter.org, and stand by for more. This is the Saturday night edition of Coast to Coast AM.
All right, Daryl, are you there? We're having to go to Channel D. I'll tell you what we will do is just, let me just let you take the floor and just take the lecturer's podium and tell us, when these crews of aliens show up, are they all the same, all at the same time?
In my opinion, they are distinctly different, in the sense that they are different models, as different as your Chevette is going to be different than a Corvette Stingray. They're different as night and day, but the fact is they're basically the same manufacturer, the same guys are putting them together. And in my opinion, and this is after 38 years of investigating, I've come to the opinion that these entities are manufactured, designed, cloned, or hatched. And I can step backwards, perhaps, and give you a better illustration of that from my first event when I was very young. The first thing I noticed about the entity, besides the fact that he was cold and he was white and he was walking toward a wall, I'm going to bump into it, in my opinion. When he turned around, I noticed that he didn't have any clothing on. He had a, as a little boy would describe it, he had a TTE. He didn't have a TTE. He didn't have any genitalia, in other words, and he didn't have a belly button. Well, after 38 years investigating, if you notice that people, if they don't have genitalia, they don't procreate.
Right.
And if they don't have a belly button or a navel, they weren't born. They got here some other way. They were either hatched, cloned, or manufactured.
What do you?
This is really not rocket
science. What in your wildest hypothetical thinking can you attribute that? I mean, is that it? They're either hatched or they're just artificially incubated?
I suspect they are, and I'll give you, I'll carry this out further. In my description, as I gave a while ago, of the what I call the usual suspects, or a lineup of, in police work, we line these people up for questionable people, and we'll line them up for someone to identify a perpetrator out of the lineup. And in that case, I made my own little alien lineup there. And what I'm saying is that of those entities that I've lined up in my drawing or my illustration here for the audience, these entities are all part and parcel to the same program. They're all on the same database. They know exactly the same information. If John Wells was picked up as a boy at any age, every one of those entities knows who John Wells is. They know who Daryl Sims is. It has nothing to do with your famous or infamous. It's simply a database, and they know who you are. It's just that simple. And these entities, in my view, were again, because they have no navel, they have no no genitalia. They're basically hatch cloned or manufactured, and we have good evidence to suggest that that may be in fact true. At least some of these entities. In one case, one of our abductees wanted to defend herself and her children. And in the next event, they came there. I actually worked with her and helped her to defend herself because she was crying and really upset about it and begged me to help her. And so I gave her a powerful hypnotic suggestion, and she assaulted her captor the next time he came in and tore his black eye cover off of the little gray alien. And he came back 2 weeks later, and she did it again. My point is that underneath that eye cover, those were not really cosmic sunglasses. They were, in effect, some type of a lens cover, so to speak. And she saw a stippled red screen with five little white lines running across it, very much like a computer screen you might see on a heart monitor, as an example.
Good grief. You know, now, of course, you encounter this all the time, but this is beyond anything that most people have ever heard. And they have to think, come on. I mean, what is this? My Bravo Sierra meter is going off real bad here. You know, I suppose some people are going to believe it, and some people aren't. Certainly the ones that experienced it believe it. I mean, I've had my own little run-in with these cats. You know, the green glow, the lost time, the covering distance mm-hmm. that cannot be covered in that length of time, particularly given the weather, the weird dream, like not the same night, but the next night. It mm-hmm. corresponded perfectly to a description that showed up on this program called Sightings. People in the audience have heard this until they can't bear the sound of it anymore. And then you take this photographer, Wilbur Allen, up there in D.C. He continues to send me photographs that are they're clearly real, and they're quite consistent. And I asked him just the other day, in fact, yesterday, I said, where's the landing zone? And he said, oh, it's right up there by where the president hangs out. I said, are you saying the White House? He goes, the White House and also the Goddard Space Center. So
I know Wilbur very well. And
well, you know he's on the level. And
he's got some interesting photography. I really pretty impressed with some of it, I'm telling you.
He said an orb, one of those little task orbs, that's what I call them. They seem to be really good at turning stuff off and on.
Yes.
Attacked his camera and almost destroyed the thing. He had to send it out to be repaired because it just fried everything, fried all the circuitry in it, much like they do when they, you know, approach some aircraft that's been scrambled to intercept them. They just turn the panel off, you know.
Okay.
It's like, wow. After a point, it becomes undeniable. These intelligent people that are flying these aircraft, and these are intelligent people like yourself and like Wilbur. And so, I mean, this is not some made-up fantastic deal. This is really happening.
It is definitely true, and I'll even cap that with a little bit more information. I'd like to make two statements. One is a description of the types of abductees and contactees that we have just in our venue alone. And second is that the difference between me and, I guess, other people, for your audience, for those that don't know me, and number one is I don't have a constituency. I have no interest in causing people to believe this phenomena. I mean, it's happened to me. There's nothing I can do about it. If people want to buy into it, that's fine. If they don't, that's okay with me. I have no agenda. You know, it just happened. There's nothing I can do about that. So the only difference between me and, I guess, other people is I'm the alien hunter. I hunted them that hunted me and later hunted my son. But not only that, the distinction, I guess, between me and other people, I guess, Wilbur is an example, is a good guy, is I hunt the pilots. I don't hunt the UFOs with a camera or a photo, take photos of them. I'm looking for the pilot. I want him.
Definitely. Well, have you nailed one yet?
I thought you'd never ask. We have come close on three occasions to getting an entity, and toward the end of this program, I hope we'll get into some possible DNA evidence we may have of one of them. But these entities are not nearly as intelligent as some people might think they are. Again, I mentioned they were models, and they do have limited intelligence. Some are very smart, and some of them are not intelligent at all, and they make mistakes. And if you understand how it thinks, in other words, you get tired of being a victim, and you don't care about being scared or being paralyzed and all that, and you actually become a trained observer, so to speak, in your event, whether you're a contactee or abductee, whether you like it or whether you don't like it, if that is the case, then you'll start to learn things about them, and you'll start to find out how they think. You'll notice that some of them are not very intelligent at all. They make all kinds of mistakes. When they bring people back, they'll often bring people back with the wrong clothes on. They'll put the wrong clothes on the wrong people. One little girl came back with an Army field jacket. The guy that had the field jacket had a little tiny T-shirt of a six-year-old girl. Found that a little difficult to put on. But the point is they make mistakes. And they'll drop you off in the wrong location. Sometimes they'll drop you off in the wrong bed, or they'll drop you off too high from your bed when they're bringing you back down. They'll drop you from 4 or 5 feet off the bed. You'll fall and hit the bed. It'll wake you up. You'll wonder, well, what happened? Sometimes they drop you off at the wrong house or in the wrong backyard. And, of course, that I'm sure the wife or somebody would probably say, well, that was a drinking problem. But in one case, with my former senior investigator, they dropped him and his buddy off. These are engineering types, very skilled people, very thoughtful people. They dropped him off in the wrong state, truck and all.
Now, some of them aren't really very good pilots either. They crash frequently.
That is true.
Anybody's liable to make a mistake, right?
Roswell's a great place to crash, I think. Not for them, but it was for me.
If you don't mind talking about your son a little bit, because how did you talk him down out of that experience? And bless his heart, and I'm really kind of trying to be careful with this, Daryl, because I don't want to. That's personal stuff. When it involves blood, you know, particularly one of your children, let alone a cousin or an uncle, that's serious stuff. But was your son, was there any evidence to suggest that they put a little tracker on your boy, a little implant of some sort? Was there any of that?
We'll talk about implants in a moment, and they're not tracking devices. The alien finds you, in my opinion, through something like a neural imprint. They know you from your okay, let me back up a little bit. To talk about my son, I have to back up just a bit. 45% of the people taken are Native American, Indian, Irish, or Celtic. 45%. That's just unbelievable.
Yes, it is.
We're Native American, Irish. And when my son was taken there, when they take someone, in other words, if someone in the audience here says, well, I've only taken me and my family, just me and no one else, that's highly unlikely. It's possible, but highly unlikely. If you'll ask grandma and grandpa and get them alone and talk to them quietly, you'll find that someone in your family is an abductee in most cases. and they will tell you the story. In my son's case, he came to me the next morning and started talking to me about what had happened to him. He wanted me to hypnotize him and do this and do that and find out what happened in detail, and I didn't want to do it. I did everything I could to put that off, and everybody started saying, well, you need to know, you know, and I knew what it was. I already knew, and I did not want to deal with that. I mean, I was not going to do that. And he pushed that and pushed it until finally I did. And his events were, and again, you got to realize no one in my family knew any of this. We did not tell anyone. My wife found out about it the night he got abducted. So I sit there and I listened as he told his story. And some of it he already knew consciously, and the other he remembered through a fresh memory. And he described things in his event that stood the hair back on the back of my neck. And the more he spoke, I just started crying, because I realized that I was 17 years old when I met that entity. And I barely survived it. Here he is, a little boy. And my tears went from tears to anger. And from that moment on, I decided I was going to hunt them.
And read your resume before they decide to mess with your son.
I don't care who you are. I don't care if you believe the aliens are here to save the planet, fix the ozone hole, or whatever. Right. Anybody that takes children and harms children, I don't care who you're from another planet. I don't care if you're this planet. You're my enemy. If you hurt children, you're my enemy. It's that simple. I don't care who you are. You can call it anything you want to. You can call it alien abduction. You can call it helping out mankind or whatever. When you hurt children, that's all there is to it. And as a police officer, if I caught anyone hurting a child, that was it. I mean, you're going to jail. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is even worse, because people are telling me, well, they're superior to us and they're smarter than us. So some of these guys have an IQ of 80. What are you talking about? What do you mean? It doesn't make any sense. They evolved. You mean this little guy evolved from an IQ of 80 and went to 150 or 160, and he just got taller? That's it? No, these are models. This is not evolution in any sense of the word. These are models made, created, and constructed, hatched or cloned for the purpose of interaction with mankind. Now, what they're doing with mankind is anybody's guess. We have some ideas, but it's still anyone's guess.
Understood. So you're not prepared to accept that these are us coming back to visit Earth from the future.
If I ever find me out there, I'm not sure what I'd do to him. A little cosmic skinhead. I hope I look better than that, at least.
Mm.
The fact is that there are two different events that happen to people. Once you come into alien contact, you have contact experience. You either like them or you don't like them. You become what I call a honeybee or a killer bee. The honeybee are like bees. They're contactees. They're kind, very gentle, good people who think the funny little man in the white suit out there stealing their honey is probably supposed to do that. Bees don't have any funny little men in white suits who are supposed to be stealing their honey. On the other hand, abductees are Native American, Irish, Celtic types. I refer to it as killer bees, because if you steal their honey and you come after their little ones, you're going to pay the price.
Yes, they'll get pre-medieval on you. All right. Well, let's take our top-of-the-hour news break and a couple other things and then get right back to it, shall we, Darryl?
Yes, sir.
All right. Very good. The Alien Hunter. Alien Hunter, The Evidence in Light is the book. Alienhunter.org is the site. This is Coast AM. We'll be right back. Happy Saturday night.